Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of thee. I only know I swell with pride, and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory, paint the breeze.
Convention
in Denver 2 years ago, and it was caught Governor Bill Richardson, who is has an interesting background himself. He's the one, when he was addressing the Latino Hispanic caucus, French TV caught him saying, "Barack Obama's an immigrant." Now, if Bill Richardson, we contacted Governor Bill Richardson's office, he's governor at the time, governor of New Mexico, asking him about this, did you make a mistake or what? And he never responded, his office never responded. So instead of these people, these media people, attacking people who legitimately question why Barack Obama will not produce an original birth certificate if there's one to be produced, that why are they being trashed and used this what I call diversionary tactic being used to assault these people, verbally assault these people and question their sanity, question their patriotism and all of that. But nobody asked Bill Richardson, did you make a mistake? Did you lie or what? Or do you know something that the rest of us should know? Richardson, he is half Mexican, I think, or South American, Latino anyway. That's where the dark skin comes from. His father, the name Richardson, comes from Boston Brahmin, the old aristocrats from Massachusetts. And I don't know if he's related to Elliot Richardson, who was attorney general in, I think, the Nixon administration. Excuse me, is that a cold? And anyway, Bill Richardson's father was a bank executive, I think, for Citibank, working in South America. He married a Latina. She got pregnant. And he decided to have the child in America, so she went to Pasadena, and that's where Bill Richardson was born, I think, in November. Family is Roman Catholic, or that's what he says he is, and I think he's married, and he has a law degree. I don't know how competent or ethical he is, but that's his background, and he should, you know, fess up on this. Is this true, or is this a lie, or what? So if it's true, then he's the original birther, and he's a Democrat, and he was a presidential candidate. And Mr. Roe, as we call him, just is not helping matters. He should produce, if there is an original birth certificate, produce it and shut everybody up. So we can get on with governing this country. We've got a lot of problems, and there are a lot more that are waiting to be addressed. Now, among the public policy questions, we hear more and more now, there are some websites out there about, relating to illegal aliens. They're not immigrants, they're aliens. They're not coming here to become U.S. citizens. We need to use correct language. Who get cars, of course, has no insurance because they don't have American driver's license. They get into accidents, they injure people, they kill people, they create uninsured motorist situations, which the rest of those licensed drivers who do have auto insurance are subsidizing these people and, in effect, paying for claims and the growing incidence of them and the growing expense that if we enforce their laws about illegal aliens and taking these people off the road who are driving illegally and, of course, have no insurance and get into accidents. And when I use the term morons in the media, these are people who lie, who distort the truth, who omit the facts, and they will not correct them when this information is brought to their attention. And in fact, they try to get up in your face, come down on your head, and try to do other things to you, intimidate you, bully, that kind of thing. And you know, they're not journalists; they're propagandists, political propagandists. They're doing a lot of damage. They destroy people's lives. They damage people's lives. Steve Nery case, the U.S. Navy sailor, is just one of many cases that we know about. And it's time to put a stop to this, stop wrecking people's lives for your own political and sexual preference agenda. We think because there are a growing number of what I see on the road, and I was a professional driver, a truck driver, in one of my careers, and we had to take National Safety Council training and refresher courses, and I can say I never got in an accident that injured anybody. I did have an accident in the snow when I didn't see a door that was open, and I pulled away from the curb and took somebody out to go with my vehicle, but I couldn't see it because of the snow. But because we're all, there's so much driving, and especially these younger people are people who drive these BMWs, Audis, Mercedes, these big Volvos. I mean, those Volvos, the new ones, are as big as a truck. And all these other SUVs, the Hummers and that, they seem to drive with aggressively. And it's an attitude of using their car, their vehicle, as a weapon. And there are people who tailgate. There are people who cut in front of you, don't use turn signals, make a cut in front of you without proper lane distance and proper signaling to change, speeding, going through red lights, going through yellow lights. I think, and the growing number of people who are thinking about this issue and who have also been injured by these reckless drivers, that all drivers upon maybe their third or fourth driver's license, when that renewal comes up, they should be required to have a road retest of their driving skills and knowledge of rules of the road. So this may make people more aware of you've got to drive safely. You just can't go out there like you're driving a 234 or a patent tank, whatever. And, you know, and you have a responsibility to other people on the road as well as pedestrians and bicyclists. And we jumped on bicyclists for their reckless bicycling. And we believe that this is a revenue source that these bankrupt states are overlooking. Start licensing these, requiring these bicyclists to have license plates and to have insurance, and to have yearly registration on their plate. A few states do that, and we'll get into that in another show. And maybe have your third or fourth driver's license renewal and test for rules of the road and driving skills on the road. And, of course, the states can charge for that. That's a revenue source that they may be, in fact, are overlooking. So, let's get on it, people. Let's make our roads safer for everybody, who, whether they're pedestrian, a bicyclist, a motorcyclist, or a fellow motorist. Let's get into the events of today. On the interesting birthdays today, the French Admiral Coligny, Coligny, very famous, not only because he was a French naval hero, but also because he was a Huguenot, that's a French Protestant. And, of course, this ties into our American history because DuPont de Nemours, DuPonts were French Huguenots who emigrated to the United States, started the munition business that became one of the biggest chemical combines in the United States. And on this day in 1938, I think, they DuPont de Nemours, as they were called, invented nylon. And women like nylon stockings, and that's where it comes from. From the DuPont company. They were also tied into General Motors, and there was a big, a long antitrust action by the U.S. Department of Justice on antitrust activities or try to break up the relationship between General Motors and DuPont. And finally, they did something that broke it up. And Henry Wilson, Vice President of the United States, he was born today. He only lasted 2 years, from 1873 to 1875. And then the founder of one of the great orchestras of the world, the Concertgebouw in Amsterdam, Wilhelm Kess, K-E-S, he was born today. And then Johann Strauss, he was the founding father of the Strauss family. There were Johann Strauss, the father, Johann Strauss, the son, and Eduard Strauss. Johann Strauss only lived about 45 years, 1840, I think. And when the Austrians were always fighting with the Italians as part of, keep their empire, the Austro-Hungarian Empire intact, when they had the Austrian army won a battle, I think in 1845 or 1848, and the war hero, probably the only one the Austrians ever had, was a guy named Radetzky. And so to honor his great victory, Johann Strauss wrote this march. This is one of these military marches to honor a famous general. Last week we had Voroshilov, who was the founder of, I think, the modern Russian military academy, and was a Red Army hero. So now we will play the march called the Radetzky March. Now, this is also famous because every New Year's, PBS plays the New Year's gala in Austria, in Vienna, Austria, and this is the march that they always end with, and it's unique because they always have audience participation. Excuse me. And you know, they don't tell people, the MC does not tell people where the origin of this music comes from, but that's where it comes from Marshal Radetzky, who won this great battle against the Italians, and Johann Strauss the senior wrote this march to honor him, and here it is. Sometimes the audience, in fact, when there's a July 4th celebration at the Boston Pops and on the, what they call the Esplanade, the audience participates in the Stars and Stripes and the 1812 Overture, although nobody knows and who understands, is knowledgeable about music history. There's, has ever been able to figure out why they use the 1812 Overture for the Americans' 4th of July celebration. The 1812 Overture was written for the defeat of Napoleon and has nothing to do with America. But I guess that's the best they can do until somebody does something better. Talking about music, this is also the birth, the death on this day. Well, interesting death of Howard Hanson, who's a great American composer. He was born in Wahoo, Nebraska. Also, that was the birthplace of Darryl Zanuck, the great movie director and producer who did the World War II film on D-Day. My mind's slipping. But he did a lot of great films, blockbusters, and he was a giant in the motion picture industry. And then let's see, who else was born today? We had John Corigliano, who was the concertmaster of the New York Philharmonic, I think, under Leonard Bernstein. He was also a composer. And then another great, he was an entertainer, Edgar Bergen. I thought he may have been a semanticist. His daughter is more famous than he is, even though he was the ventriloquist. His daughter was the gorgeous blonde and actress, Candace Bergen. I think he was a teacher, a professor at Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois, if I'm not mistaken. And then among the deaths today, I mentioned Howard Hanson, and also Howard Hanson was a great American composer. He was the dean who started the Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York. I guess it was named after the George Eastman, the guy who started Kodak. And Howard Silva, he had a great bass baritone, and he is the voice you hear on Politics and Poker, and he did quite a few movies. I think he's Portuguese-Jewish ethnicity, and he died today. And then Governor Pat Brown, the father of Jerry Brown, he died today, and he was there are a lot of questions about him when he was district attorney of San Francisco County. According to George Christopher, who knew where the bodies were buried, who buried them, why they were buried, and who may be next. During Pat Brown's maladministration of the San Francisco District Attorney's Office, there were allegations of bribes and all kinds of manipulations and abortions of justice. He later became governor of California. And when he was out of the state in about the time the Watts riots started, his lieutenant governor was a guy named Glenn Anderson, who didn't know what to do and didn't call in the National Guard to secure Los Angeles. This cost Pat Brown his reelection when he ran against Ronald Reagan. So it's a lesson for anybody who has a subordinate in government, that make sure your subordinate is competent, or you get in control of the situation right away before it gets out of control. And this is the cost of not taking care of business, in other words. And also today, we have, of the events, Ben Franklin started the second magazine in America called General Magazine. And here is a great naval hero, the U.S. Navy, Stephen Decatur, and that's a lot of places around the country are named after this great naval hero who dealt with the Tripolitan pirates. On this date, the Philadelphia is one of our biggest wooden warships. It ran aground in Tripoli Harbor, and the Tripolitan pirates, these are the Libyans today, captured it and imprisoned and abused our sailors. Well, he decided that if the ship could be freed from, I think it was on a reef or something, that they decided to burn the ship, scuttle it, and that's what they did. Now, Decatur is alleged to have been gay, had a relationship. Of course, you know, you're on those ships, those wooden ships, that were these long journeys. Anything can happen, and probably did. But as we have often said, the key thing is not what these people did privately. They served their country, and he's not the only one. We're going to going to get into these other famous military people who were gay in their private life, and they're quite interesting. Goes all the way back to ancient Turkey. But Stephen Decatur, I think he got into a duel, and something happened there. We'll get into his life more, but he's one of our great naval heroes. And for instance, Decatur, Illinois, is named after him. And then here's an advancement for women, although it's a little bit. In 1838, the state of Kentucky granted women the right to be educated, but with limitations. And also this famous school for the deaf started in Washington. Gallaudet College started in Washington, D.C., and it's still going today. And it's done an excellent job in trying to help these people with who were born deaf cope with life and function. Also, the Elks were founded in New York in 1868. And then in 1883, the Ladies Home Journal, I don't know if that's still published, that was founded. And then the first newspaper convention in 1887 was held. We need to hold one again. And then for San Francisco in 1900, the first Chinese newspaper was, a daily newspaper was created. And then we had, this was 5 years before the war started between Austria and Serbia and the assassination of the Archduke Ferdinand. Serbia mobilized against Austria, so 5 years later we had the war. World War I started, and this is of interest to us. President Taft, who was the predecessor of Wilson, agreed that because of all the problems on the U.S.-Mexican border with Pancho Villa and all these other bandits, our freedom fighters, he agreed he was not going to authorize American intervention in Mexico. Woodrow Wilson did and sent down General Blackjack Pershing to chase Pancho Villa, but he didn't catch him. This is also Lithuanian Independence Day, and you should remember that it's a special interest to me because the person who saved my life was a survivor. His father was a survivor of the concentration camps, Roman Catholic, Lithuanian, and he was what he was called, a DP. And his mother died. And he brought his infant children, were able to emigrate legally to the United States. And then, of course, in 1937, we had nylons were invented by DuPont and Nourse. And then this may be important to us now because of the storms that have curtailed the growth of our winter vegetables. The Federal Crop Insurance Agency was set up under FDR. We may need something like that. And then here's another student protest done sub rosa against Hitler, the White Rose. These were young students who published these pamphlets. They were captured, apprehended, tried, and about 2 weeks later were beheaded. It's a famous movie called The White Rose. I recommend you see that. And let's see what else today. We had in 1951, Civil Rights, New York City banned discrimination in city-assisted housing. And then in 1950, Britain abolished the death penalty. And in 1988, this is important to Steve Mary case, El Salvador, we had the first documented case of American military advisors openly intervene. So we'll honor Howard Da Silva now, who died on this date. Where is Howard? Here we go.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes. All right.
possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to